Good morning. If you would turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 22, we'll begin reading there. It's good to see everyone. We've been away this week. It's good to be back. Appreciate the thoughts and prayers. It's good to be back with our brethren. Psalms 22, we'll begin reading in verse 1. Here David says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. O my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I have no rest. Yet you are holy. O you who have enthroned upon the praises, who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel, and you, our fathers, trusted, they trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were delivered. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. But I am a worm and not a man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All who see me sneer at me. They separate with the lip. They wag the head, saying, commit yourself to the Lord. Let him deliver you. Let him rescue him because he delights in him. This first verse here, we'll see later on in Matthew, and it's also listed in Mark. We'll see that Jesus will say these same things. In 2 Kings, beginning in verse 17, let's turn there. 2 Kings chapter 17. Verse 1, in the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, Hoshea, the son of Elah, became king over Israel in Samaria and reigned 9 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, only not as the kings of Israel who were before him. Jump down to verse 7. Now this came because the sons of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up from the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And they had feared other gods, and walked in the customs of the nations whom the Lord had driven out before the sons of Israel, and in the customs of the kings of Israel which they had introduced. The sons of Israel did things secretly which were not right against the Lord their God. Moreover, they built for themselves high places in all towns, from watchtower to fortified city. They set for themselves sacred pillars and Asherim on every high hill and under every green tree. And they burned incense on all high places as the nations did which the Lord had carried away to exile before them. And they did evil things, provoking the Lord. They served idols concerning which the Lord had said to them, you shall not do this thing. Yet the Lord warned Israel and Judah through the prophets and every seer, saying, turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments, my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you through my servants the prophets. However, they did not listen, but stiffened their neck, like their fathers who did not believe in the Lord their God. They rejected his statutes and his covenant which he made with their fathers and his warnings which he warned them. And they followed vanity and became vain and went among the nations which surrounded them concerning which the Lord had commanded them not to do. They forsook all the commandments of the Lord their God. Here we see the Assyrians are about to come in and take over God's people. They have done evil. They have not followed what they've been told to do. And not only the Assyrians would put them under slavery, under bondage, but we know the Babylonians, the Medo-Persians, and ultimately the Romans would do so also. Time and again, and we don't have time to look at all the examples here, but time and again, God's people who chose to disobey and were unfaithful, didn't keep God's law, that God allowed them to remain in their wickedness, misery, and suffering as a result of their disobedience. And they were carried away at the hands into enemy nations. This took place over hundreds of years. Now, I remember studying the Old Testament, how they were conquered over and over and over. I remember studying it in junior high, thinking, why couldn't they see? Just a generation or two before, this same thing had happened, and they fell into the same trap. They started doing the same things and fell away and were led out into bondage again, and they would repent and were allowed to come back. And then they went right back into their evil ways and were taken over and over and over. And I remember thinking, why couldn't they see? Here we are, 2022. Our nation is barely 200 years old. And the pattern continues, doesn't it? The pattern continues of people turning away from God. In Habakkuk 1 and 13, it tells us that God cannot look upon sin and evil. Psalms 5, verses 4 and 5 tells us that evil cannot dwell with or around God, and that he hates all workers of iniquity. It's not a surprise that God had to punish them over and over, but man repeats himself, doesn't he? Making perfect sense how we see in Ecclesiastes 1:9 how we're told that there is no new thing under the sun, that man is still the same. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 27. There, beginning in verse 35, we read about Jesus' crucifixion. And when they had crucified him, they divided up his garments among themselves by casting lots. And sitting down, they began to watch over him there. And above his head, they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." At that time, two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him and saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God, let God rescue him, if he delights in him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Jumping down to 46, "In the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" Here, as he's dying on the cross, we see Jesus quoting the words from David that we started out in the first passage we read. When Jesus is taking away the sin of the entire world, God couldn't look upon him. He had to turn away. When he did this, we're told that the earth shook, rocks were torn apart, the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. Dead were raised from their graves and seen of people. How can we come away with any other understanding other than what God must do and does when people abandon him? The word forsaken, here we see that it's meaning to quit or leave, to stop helping them or stop looking after them. In any of these examples, God did abandon his people who chose to abandon him. He gave them time. God is long-suffering. He gives time for a nation to repent. He gives time for people to leave their erring ways. What about the faithful during these times of trouble? We see some examples of that too. Look at the example of Daniel. Meshach, Abednego, his brethren, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that were taken away in exile, even though they were slaves and serving these nations who were taking away God's people, God took care of his faithful remnant. He looked over them and even in their oppression, provided for them. And we need to remember that. Just like Joseph being sold into slavery, he was taken care of and provided for as well. I read these passages and led up to this because of a question that was posed to me. In my prayer here, often I pray that we have the courage to remind people around us, to remind them that a godless nation will be God-forsaken. And I was questioned about that. And so I wanted to look at these examples about being using this phrase of being God-forsaken. Psalms 22 and Matthew 27 and Mark chapter 15 is where Mark's account is. These expressions are used in our day and time, in our society. People often associate the definition of forsaken as being betrayed. And I was asked, how does God betray people? Well, God doesn't betray people. People betray God. And when the world turns to sin, God can't be in the presence of sin. He had to turn his back on his own son. And that's what I wanted to look at, these examples, and see that a godless nation should expect to be God forsaken, and what I mean by that. Now, I appreciate that conversation when I was asked, and for the opportunity to study and look at this and bring it to you. And if anyone else has any questions, not only about this or any of my words, I'll welcome the opportunity. We have the obligation and duty not only to what our words and prayers are to God, but to each other. And I appreciate the thought that someone asked what I was meaning when I said this. But I do, based on these examples, don't believe that I'm misusing that phrase about being God-forsaken. David and Jesus even using that phrase himself. Should mankind, should our society, should our nation be afraid of the wrath of God? Absolutely. It's something we definitely need to warn our friends, our brothers and sisters about. We have to tell them what is at stake. Our nation is only, like I said, only a couple hundred years old. And look at the depravity that is so readily around us. It took hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years for Israel, Judah, to reach the height of their iniquity before they were carried away. But there's lots and lots of opportunities to speak about God with people today. There's lots of bad situations that's going on in our nation, circumstances, and that's the perfect time. When someone brings up how bad situations are, how bad the country, the state is, they've opened the door to talk about God with them. Yes, things are bad. And a country that doesn't obey and trust in God should expect even worse things to happen. They've given you the conversation piece. You don't have to go knock on their door and say, would you like to study the Bible, when someone opens a conversation like that. They've started it. But I do appreciate this opportunity to bring this out and clarify, and I hope that I haven't led anyone astray. I hope and pray that nothing I ever says causes anyone to stumble. But I hope this is something we think about, and I hope this is something we speak about with other people. So I'll turn it over to Daniel before our classes.